Okay, well, this evening I'm delighted to have with me Frank Canu, who started out in sales before deciding to study computer science and later economics. And it's great to have you here, Frank. You're talking to us from the United States, and would you like to tell us whereabouts you are at the moment in America?
I'm located in Wesley Chapel, which is 10 minutes away from Tampa Bay, and it's 1 hour west of Orlando. I'm pretty sure most people will know Orlando.
Yes, yeah. Well, I'm delighted to have you here because you are an expert in leadership, and that's what we want to talk about this evening. And you do a lot of consulting in the area of leadership. I believe that you've been working with a number of Fortune 500 companies.
Fortune 500 companies and the U.S. government, and then also coaching with all kind of managers, leaders, and small business owners.
And also you've recently finished a book, haven't you? Stop Telling, Start Leading, The Art of Managing People by Asking Questions.
Yes, asking questions is what my passion is. I go ahead and help people to ask the right questions, because in my personal opinion, the really great leaders will never tell you what to do, but rather go ahead and ask questions to help the people to find what they already really know. See, deep inside, most people, I maybe should even say everybody, already has an idea what they should do. Now, if you have to make a decision, you're always facing the question, is this the right decision? Should I do this? Do other people agree with me? And if you want to come to a point that you can tell yourself this decision is the right one, then you need to ask yourself questions which help you to actually stand to your decision.
I was thinking when we knew we were going to be talking together this evening that if we could talk a bit about how this applies specifically to somebody who may be running their business, perhaps working on their own or maybe only working with a couple of people. And of course, asking questions is something that you can do very much, as you were mentioning. Just asking questions of yourself is equally as important as asking questions of other people you may be working with.
Yes, absolutely. Just take the example of a small business owner who is in the process of getting a new contract, and the contract promises a lot of money, so the small business owner who would like to have the money thinks he should go ahead and take the contract, and somehow she is not sure if she should do or not. So there are two ways to deal with the situation. The first one is to just go with the guts, and the second one is to ask questions. And the best way of asking those questions is actually to sit down with a potential customer and start asking the customer questions. That will not only help the small business owner to find out if she really wants that contract, but it will also help in the long run both the customer and the small business owner to make sure that what they both want fit together and that they can go ahead and make a smart choice and do business together.
What questions would you recommend that that person ask the potential client?
Well, that's a pretty hard question because it really depends on what kind of business you want to do. As you can imagine, when you do business in a field, let's say you're teacher for scuba diving, the questions you would have are way different from the ones a person who develops software should have. Yeah. The most powerful questions are those that sound very easy. And I'm give you a good example for that. I asked a question on LinkedIn which was, how important do you think is eye contact? And it's very interesting to see how many people will tell you that eye contact is a must, that eye contact will tell you if a person is lying or not. It sounds like a very easy question, right? But eye contact is very much depending on the cultural background of a person. There are cultures subjects which consider direct eye contact as an aggression. So if you go ahead and you sit in a meeting and you start with direct eye contact and it's an aggression for the other person, then you already lost. It's a very simple question. The simpler the question, the easier it is. And it always helps you to get answers which you know, most people think, okay, so there's my customer and here are the description what the customer wants and we are fine. But they will not sit down and say, what do you mean? They read and interpret what they think the customer meant, and the customer is doing the same. You know, most business is done via contract, and both look at the contract or have their lawyers looking at the contracts, and then they both see something different. But neither one of them goes ahead and asks a question.
I bet they wish they did in the end.
That's why I personally prefer to do all business via handshake. See, the difference between doing a contract and doing it by handshake is when people sign a contract, the first thought they have in their mind is, how can I use this contract to win a court case when it comes to the worst? Whereas when you do business via handshake, your thinking is basically the total opposite. How can we both, the client and I, how can we both make sure that we both reach the goal we both wanted to reach?
So you've got a deeper level of commitment right from the outset.
Yes, and you will also see that there are way more questions allowed. When there's a contract and you start asking questions, you will very often hear the answer, it's all standing in the contract, which might be true, but if you have a different understanding, that doesn't help you. Whereas when you don't have a contract, when everything, and don't get me wrong, handshake is a contract too, but when you do everything via handshake, then you have to ask more, because you can't say, this is all standing in the handshake.
So how did your interest and your passion in questions emerge for you then, Frank? I mean, how did this come for you to be the focus of your work with so many people?
I was always a very curious person. In the youngest age, I always liked to ask questions. And unfortunately, going through school and later on university, the number one thing you will be taught is don't ask so many questions, which is rather disappointing, because the only way how you really learn is when you ask a question. Look at children.
That question, they do, why?
They say why. They say why. Why is this? Why is that? And then you give them an answer, and they immediately have a question. And sometimes you're at a point when you just have to admit, I don't know. Or where you have to say, I cannot answer this anymore. Or, you know, how do you answer to a question, why is the sky blue?
And would you say that for many leaders, being able to actually say, I don't know the answer to that question, is something that is a good indicator of leadership, but one that perhaps many people feel is a sign of weakness rather than strength?
I think that a lot of people would consider a comment like, I do not know, or I can't answer that, as a sign of weakness. Where in reality, it's a strength. You know, let's not forget, when somebody makes up something just to answer a question, the outcome of that can be pretty devastating. You know, if you go back to the contract and you don't understand something and you ask the client and the client makes up something and you go ahead and try to fulfill that wish, that's no use in any way. Whereas when you ask the question and the client would say, okay, I don't know that, let me ask somewhere else, or the outcome would be that the client said, well, that's a good question, we haven't thought about this. And, you know, a long time ago I created a software for a customer and they used it for months and they were happy with it, and then they came back to me like half a year later and said, we would like to have this addition. And I asked them, what are you trying to do? And I asked them 3-4 more questions, how they want to use the software and everything. And 2 days later, they came back to me and said, well, you know, we actually don't really need this because our process doesn't go in that direction anyway. So you can see that when you ask the right, I mean, from the point of a small business owner, that's not exactly the good thing because, as you can imagine, I lost work that moment. You know, I could just have sat down and program it for them and be happy, and they would have come back a while later and would have said, well, see, this is not what we need. You have to implement another change. And I would have created some work for myself. But I rather look at it from the long-term point of view when I say I rather have the customer happy and help them to find out how to use what they have in a better way than helping them, which in reality wouldn't be a real help.
I think for me that question why has always been the most powerful question, and often asking people why more than once really can help to get to the nub of what it is, either a client or somebody that maybe you might be coaching is actually looking at. It's really stretching that question why.
Well, if you look at it, you know, it's very, very clear why that is such an important and powerful question. You do not know what the other person thinks. You do not know what the other person means. You can just make an assumption. And the more you find out about the other person's meaning and what they want, the easier it becomes for you to actually help them.
And you're a great fan of Socrates and his questioning technique, I gather, Frank, from your book.
Well, that's what Socrates did. He just asked easy questions and had some people going rather mad at him because while some questions sound very easy, when you start thinking about them, they become really complicated when you try to answer them. You know, the example I told you earlier about the company who wanted the change in the software.
Yeah.
When I asked them, what do you want to do? It took them 2 days to get back to me. So that wasn't an easy question.
So these disarmingly simple questions really prompt a lot of internal thought and rigor.
Well, they should. Some people will, and once you start asking questions, you will experience that yourself. Some people will get upset with you and tell you that this is a stupid question. The purpose of the questions is not to basically show you the whole way. You know, if I start describing what a good leader is, then I might already have taken away the chance for you to think about the question and to come up with an answer. The question should be extremely open and should look very simple. Like the child's question, why is the sky blue? I mean, it sounds very simple now, doesn't it? You know, we can learn so much from children. If a child asks you that question and you start going ahead, you know, when I'm a meteorologist, I'm pretty sure I can give you like a half hour long answer. But the point will come where the child says, okay, I heard enough, and will walk away.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find the right moment and you have to find the right language for, you know, you can imagine that like a 5-year-old child which asks that question and has a meteorologist answering, the child will not understand a lot and will get bored rather fast. That's the same when you look at let's, for example, take a car mechanist who then starts to explain to you, you know, you come to the store and say, my car makes silly noises, and that person starts to explain to you how the cylinder and the engine works. You really don't have that knowledge, usually, to actually understand what the person is talking about, and you really don't care. Mm-hmm. You only want to know why it's making the noise. During school, we get taught to stop asking questions. Mm. There is a statistic which was done in the United Kingdom, and that a fourth grader asked 100% less questions, which is that's not the right way to say it. A first grader asks 100% more questions than a fourth grader. And once a person leaves high school, when they're finished, they ask around one question a month. And when that person goes to university, it becomes like one question every quarter. And now compare that to the amount of questions you get from a child.
Yeah.
They ask you every 5 minutes. Mm. The best way how we as humans can learn is by asking and getting answers. You know, how would you know how grass tastes? You know, you as a child, you go ahead and you ask your parents, and sometimes you believe them and sometimes not, and if you don't believe, you will try it yourself. But now imagine, you know, you would have never asked. And if grass would be poison for us and you would try to eat it, the result wouldn't be exactly good.
Yeah. No, that's very sad to hear those statistics.
I think it's one of the big failures of the whole school system that children and later on young adults get trained to stop asking. I have witnessed in the Audi Max of a university in Germany how a student asked a question, and the professor told the student, "This is a stupid question." When I teach seminars, I always start with telling my audience that there are no stupid questions, only stupid answers. And since I am the one who is giving the answers, which always breaks the ice, and it allows them to ask way more questions. See, most adults are now in a situation that they're actually scared to ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, like that student, when you get, and this was in front of, I think, 1,200 other students. Do you think that this student will ever ask an important question again?
Mm. Mm.
The likelihood is very small. And the failure wasn't from the student. The failure was from the professor. You know, the professor didn't do his job the way he should have done it. The student maybe was lazy and didn't learn enough. But it also could have been the case that the student just didn't understand. And from the professor to go ahead to make this one assumption, that was the wrong move.
So how would you sum up for somebody who is running their own business, perhaps some sort of top three tips for them in terms of developing their leadership abilities?
Just start asking. It's very easy. See, there are no wrong questions. If somebody tells you, you know, this is a stupid question, there are usually only two reasons why a person would tell you that. The first and the major reason is that they don't have an answer. And the second one is that they think, gee, I should have asked that myself. So really, the very best thing is just go ahead and ask a question. And you can do that in a very safe environment. You can start at home. You can start asking your children. You can start asking your spouse, your parents. You can start asking your friends. Or if you have a business partner, you can start asking your business partner. And just start asking questions.
Yeah, I tell you one thing you've encouraged me to do today, and that is I think I'm just going to tune in and be more aware of how many questions I ask throughout the day, and maybe keep myself a little tick list of how many questions. I'm just curious to know how many questions I might ask during a day, and it'll be interesting to have that kind of sort of self-analysis to see how it's going. Hopefully I do more than the one a month or whatever it is you said the graduate does.
Well, you know, some people say, but I ask my wife like 3 times a day, where you want to go for dinner? Those are not the questions I'm talking about. You know, and if you look at it the proper way, if you ask one question, and it's a challenging question, it might be very difficult at that moment to find the right answer. you know, the question, should I take this as my customer or not, is for a lot of businesses very challenging.
Yeah.
Because a lot of, especially startups, they need the money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't ask that question, is this really the right customer for you? And you have a customer who isn't the right customer for you, it will cost you way more.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will have a lot of stress with that customer. You might be not able to fulfill what the customer wants. It costs you way more.
Mm. Presupposes that when you ask yourself, is this the right customer for me, you know who the right customer for you is. So you would need to have asked those questions too first, so that you can evaluate something in response.
Well, you should ask yourself first, who do I want as a customer? What pain am I willing to suffer when I take somebody who isn't the right customer? Wouldn't you go ahead and take somebody as a customer who would pay you 20 times more than your usual customers do and say, okay, I will suffer through that pain because the customer pays me enough? It all depends. And when you come to that point, and look, you can, very often people say, you know, I got this request from a potential customer. It isn't exactly what we do, and I really don't know how I should charge them. You know, how much per hour should I charge? One of the right answers to that is, you know, just ask them for 10 times more than what you usually would charge, and then double that amount, and look what they say. And you will be surprised at how many will actually be willing to pay that much. But without yourself asking the question, you will never come to that point.
Well, there's some useful questions there, Frank, that can really sort of help people to increase their fees and hopefully get the clients that they want to do work with.
One of the most important lessons which a lot of people avoid in business is that saying no to a potential customer brings you more business and is financially more rewarding than taking any given customer. See, when you're a little bit known in the field you're working in, people will talk about the fact that you have said no to a possible contract. And I'm pretty sure that the majority of the business owners never ask themselves, should I take this contract or not? They never ask themselves, should I make somebody a customer or not? And you can see it very often that people in business run after potential customers, offer them all kinds of special treatment to make them a customer.
Mm.
But does that really have value for a small business or for any business?
No, they certainly could be running around and undervaluing themselves.
They very often do, and when you make somebody a customer, this can't be your perfect customer.
Well, thank you for your time this evening, Frank. I think we've had some really good questions that we've shared with people this evening. And if somebody wants to know more about what you do, we're going to give the link to your genius1.com website.
Yes, please.
And I know that you're open to giving people some of your time for a discussion if somebody's interested in knowing more about how you're working.
Yes, absolutely. I'm willing to help people as long as it doesn't take too much of my time, since I also have to make a living.
And say no to some people.
And say no to some people. But I'm more than happy to offer to the first three listeners of this free coaching session, which means I will ask them questions. That's usually an hour long, and there will be a second call, which is usually half an hour long.
That sounds great. That's a great offer. Thanks for that, Frank.
You're quite welcome, Elaine.
Thank you.